Welcome to Guitar Serious Fun, a podcast dedicated to enhancing your guitar journey as you offer your gifts to the Lord. I'm David Harsh, and today, together with Nashville session guitarist Dave Cleveland, we're going to bring you a huge dose of encouragement as it pertains to the journey of a Christian guitarist. To give you a bit of background on what you're going to experience as you listen to the audio version of today's episode, I've had the privilege of teaching guitar workshops at the Christian Musician Summit here in the Pacific Northwest for 15 years. Each time I've been invited to teach, I've brought topics related to rhythm guitar, fretboard knowledge, chords, the capo, and more, all with a view to equipping Christian guitarists to develop their skills for worship leading and songwriting. My first year at the CMS was 2007, and after road testing a lot of my teaching concepts for over a decade, I intentionally launched Guitar Success for You in 2019. It was there that I began to draw like-minded people into a community where music is a language, guitar is a dialect, and where we work diligently with joy to expand our vocabulary. I'm always growing as a guitarist and as a musician, and my desire to expand my vocabulary is constant. So at this year's CMS, I was intrigued by a workshop offered by Nashville guitar session player Dave Cleveland. It was all about capos and alternate tunings, both of which I leverage on a pretty regular basis. What followed was unexpected. Dave actually invited me to help him teach the class. With eager onlookers, we delved into multiple capo positions and tunings, leveraged the caged system, and called out Nashville numbers so we could work in tandem. I like to bring a plan, but in this case, there was very little structure, which actually allowed us to explore musical frontiers I didn't even know were possible. Well, I told my tribe of guitarists about this experience, and I invited Dave to be on a Zoom call with us to debrief that class, and he accepted. Dave is a gentleman and a scholar, the first call session guitar player in Nashville, having played on countless commercials, in movies, and on major albums with people like Stephen Curtis Chapman, Miley Cyrus, Twyla Paris, Lauren Daigle, and more. Over his 32-year career, Dave has recorded over 30,000 songs. He graciously granted me permission to share some segments from the Zoom call we hosted recently inside the membership. Typically, I keep these kinds of treats for members only, but I felt like it would be a great way to give you, our listeners here at Guitar Serious Fun, a window into what goes on when we gather for a Zoom call discussion with a guest expert. What you'll sense almost immediately about Dave is that he's super chill, very encouraging, extremely knowledgeable, generous with his ideas, and really just a brother in the Lord that you're going to love spending a little time with. This was a call where I invited my guitar successors, as I like to call them, to type their comments and questions into the chat so we could cover as much ground as possible during our brief time with Dave. Even before we go into the audio from the Zoom call, I want to share three short snippets of Dave and me collaborating from the class. In the first excerpt, you'll hear us play 1, 2, 4, 6 minor, 5 in what I call the Gedka system for A flat major with Dave on capo 6 with D shapes and me on capo 1 with G shapes. You'll chuckle because Dave starts singing randomly about capos and I just go right along with him. For the second excerpt, we stayed in A-flat major with the Gedka system, but Dave was on capo 6 with D shapes, and I was on capo 8 with C shapes. This was a chord progression I came up with, using the chords 1, 5, 6 minor, 4, flat 7, 4, 5 sus 4, 5. Finally, you'll hear us with me in Dadgad Capo 5 and Dave in Open G, No Capo, spontaneously interacting. In the Substack blog version of this episode, I link to my YouTube video that captured the visual aspects of some of this experience. Well, now that you've heard some of the musical experimentation that Dave and I embarked on, it's time to hear from the man himself. I invite you into some distilled segments from our Zoom call. Here we go. My mom always told me that unless I ask, the answer will be no. So I asked Dave Cleveland, if he would join our call tonight. So please join me in welcoming Dave Cleveland. I'm so excited that Dave can join us. Dave, would you unmute yourself so we can hear your voice this whole call? Would you guys just give a warm welcome, a little round of applause. Welcome to Mr. Dave Cleveland.
Thank you. Wow.
Yay. All right. And I see a few guitars behind you, which is extremely awesome. I love it.
Well, they go all the way around the room. You just can't see the whole room. So
how many guitars do we need? Just one more. Just one more. Yes. So let me just give you a quick introduction to Dave. Also, light up the chat. If you want to throw questions in the chat, even now, based on what you know about Dave, please do, because I will read those and I will respond and we'll get Dave answering those questions. But real quick, Dave is a rep for Paul Reed Smith Guitars. And yes, he did a one-day pre-conference intensive at the Christian Musician Summit. It was a guitar boot camp that I've had the privilege of teaching in years past. And Lynette, would you raise your hand? Lynette spent the day at Dave's workshop. She was like, should I go to this? I'm like, absolutely. He's such a generous musician. He's got so much knowledge, but also so much heart. And he loves the Lord. So she went, did not regret it. And then I'm going to let Dave sort of summarize what happened during the conference when I was there. Go ahead, Dave. What happened?
Well, we went into this lovely class that we're going to talk about capos and tunings and all those kind of things. And I walked into the class and the first thing I noticed was a guitar that had a lot of capos on it. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's interesting. And then I got up and I was getting ready to teach and David sat down next to that guitar with all those capos. And I'm like, okay. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, y'all need to do this together. And I don't know how he felt about that, that David felt about that at the moment, but I felt like it was supposed to happen. And after the fact, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God had put us together in that moment. So we had a great class and I think a lot was learned and discussed about tunings and capos and all that. And I think from that moment on, I think God kind of knit David and I's heart together for maybe things to come in the future or just to be guys that we could call on each other if we needed prayer or whatever. I just feel like David's somebody I can trust and that God kind of put us together in that moment. What do you think about that, David?
I the feeling is very mutual, Dave. It was such an honor to be invited. Those of you who have been following me and learning from me know that I like to come in with a game plan and usually slides, maybe handouts, basically a structured approach to teaching a class. So it was an excellent way for me to be guided or shaken out of my comfort zone into a beautiful
situation because I learned so much about the importance of listening and being a good follower. Because if we're good leaders, that's great. But sometimes we need to be good followers. And Dave was calling out Nashville numbers and we were moving through the caged system with capos. And man, oh man, I wouldn't trade a minute of it. It was such an uplifting experience. It was exhilarating because I'm like, okay, here we go. And the thing that I sensed about you, Dave, was the more that I responded to what you threw at me, I felt like the more you trusted me with next level stuff. Would you agree with that statement?
That's exactly right. You kind of test the water and see how far we can go with this. And then when I see that the boat is still floating and we're actually making progress, then hey, let's fire the engine up now and see if we can take this all the way across the lake, you know?
And at a certain point you started making up words like capos are for good things. I'm like, yes, they are. I'm like, I don't know where this is going. And then you're like, they make me play better. I'm like, me too. And then we just couldn't keep going. Like the laughter overtook us because it was so much joy as we just kind of leaned into it. So I love it. So Dave, I'm looking at the chat here. Nobody's typing questions in yet. So I'm going to run a question by you. What is a scenario in your musical past where you were presented with a challenge or a change in circumstances where you needed to adapt and you overcame a challenge in the Lord's strength because you pivoted and some really cool music happened that might not have normally happened?
Well, there's actually a lot of those moments, and I'll say something about what I've done for a living for the last 32 years. Almost every situation that I've been in, there's no way to prepare for it, except you have to prepare. Just in general, you have to be ready, because the things that I end up doing in the studio, I don't know what song I'm going to play when I get there. I don't know the chord progression when I'm going to get there. I don't know if there's going to be heavy reading that day. A lot of times I'll know if I'm going in to work with the orchestra, so I'll assume that there will be a lot of actual note reading. But I tell you, I remember just day after day after day driving into Nashville before a session, going in to work with people that I've never worked with before, and just praying to the Lord, like, God, please help me to be able to contribute to whatever this musical situation is going to be like. And big, more than that, it's like, Lord, let my heart and your light shine through me in whatever circumstance I'm in. I mean, I could be going to play on a Diet Coke commercial, or could be playing on, you know, a Tide commercial, or I could be playing on a Christian record or a country record. It's like, no matter what the circumstances, to me, the biggest thing and the biggest prep where God helps me every time is praying before I get there and asking God to give me that clarity and that focus. And my wife prays for me to this day. Anytime I take a trip to go anywhere to play music, I guarantee you tomorrow before I leave the house, she'll pray for me, and she'll pray, God, please use David and let him hear sounds that might not have been heard on this earth yet. Let things come out of his instrument and anoint his playing in a way that, that it will stir people's hearts and cause them to look to Jesus. That's her prayer for me every day. So anyway, that's a big, broad answer to your question, but that's kind of how we operate up here. We just, no matter what we're going into, Lord, help us, give us your wisdom, give me things in my heart, in my mind, help me to hear things that I don't hear in normally. Let me get into this music beyond what I'm humanly capable of doing. So
awesome. Oh, my wife prays for me too. I am so blessed to have her prayerful support. We've got a couple questions in the chat. So Dave, I know you've played for some Christian gigs, some secular gigs. Cole's wondering, do you ever turn down a gig? Maybe conflict of the content, or maybe just because of scheduling or whatever, but do you ever have to say, actually, I can't take that gig?
Well, I think God has protected me in a lot of ways. There are certain things that I've played on, but I think he protects my schedule. he directs my schedule. There's one thing that you can ask most of the people in Nashville that I have a good reputation for, and that's if I book a session, I will stay with that session, even if the session that I get called for on that same day pays more money and has more prestige to it. I just don't believe in bailing on anybody because everybody's important. Every song's important. Every demo session is important. And, you know, there are times where I've got called for, say, a big record and I was booked on a demo session. So, you know, a demo session would be something that's not going to be on the radio or anything like that, but a bigger record, say a Stephen Curtis record or Twyla or Lauren Daigle or somebody like that, that would be maybe a more prestigious gig. In those circumstances, I will go to the producer who booked me of the demo session, and I will say, is it acceptable to you that I could get out of this session to do this other session? If not, I am with you no matter what. But if there's a chance that you could get somebody else to do this, or I could help you get somebody else to do this, would that be possible? And at that moment, he'll go, hey, you know what? I would love to see you go do that record and play on that. I think that's a great opportunity. And I will go, okay, thank you. And I'll do it. And I'll always remember how he's treated me and the kindness he showed for me to do that. But if he says, you know what, we booked this whole session with the thought that you would be here and what you bring, we really need it on this song in this demo session, then I will say to the person on the other side that's doing the bigger record, I'm committed to this and I can't do that session. And it's just been the way I've always been. And I've never suffered for that at all. God's always taken care of us. So
I love that. Maurice commented in the chat, basically your word is your bond. To me in ministry, it's all about relationships and yeah. You're keeping those relationships intact, but also you hinted at something that I want to expand on just for a second. You have relationships with other guitar players. So one of the best blessings we can be to people who have asked us to play, perfect example is on a local worship team, is not just to cancel, but to say, hey, you know, I'll be there for this, but if there's a way I can get out of it, I have someone who can sub in that knows right. What to do. And that's going above and beyond because you're fulfilling, you're filling a need that, right. You know, you knew was going to be there when you needed to at least request to step off the sesh. So I love
that's
that.
That's right. That's right.
So Candy was actually in the class. And in
Hi, Candy. I see you.
She says, hi, Dave. Thank you for joining us. It was a pleasure to learn from you at the CMS. She wants to know, how long did it take you to know chords by ear, specifically knowing the tonic chord, the root chord? How, you know, we talk about our super spy decoder, you guys, and knowing the chords in a key. How long did it become second nature, Dave, for you to be like, oh, key of G? You know, I know what 1-4-5 are. You know what I mean, obviously G is easier than some, but how did you get to that point and how quickly?
Well, Tammy actually reminded me of this the other day because I met Tammy when I was 14 here in Fredericksburg, where we live now. And she came over to our house one day and I was probably 15 or so when I did this. But in my room, I had taken notebook paper and I had written out every scale, every major scale, and plastered it all the way around my room.
Yep.
Now, I didn't know anything about the number system at that time, but looking back, I had memorized all of those scales, so I knew them by heart. So when it was time to start putting the number system together and learning how to hear the tonic, the main note of the song, I kind of already had that built in, and it was an easy transition for me. But as far as being on sessions and being able to sit down with a piece of paper and everybody's looking at you to write the song out, like without stopping the tape, you just have to write it out. That took a few years to be able to do that. And it's still tricky sometimes when you hear certain voicings, you're like, oh, what was that? Was that a 7/2 diminished? I don't know. I need to listen again. But it does take time. But I would say really dig into your major scales, like learn those major scales, learn all of the positions that you can in the cage system and beyond, you know, learn all that. And the more you listen, the more you put it into practice, the quicker your ear will be to picking it up. So you can do it, Candy. You go, Candy. You got it.
She's got this. I would say, like you said, repetition is the mother of learning. So doing it over and over is going to help reinforce it. But laying the infrastructure of the scale, which we do, where you latch the cords onto the scale, but then also don't underestimate the power of ear training and the opportunity to listen to a song and hear, you know, what the progressions are. I try not to analyze music when I'm being led in worship. I try to just be in worship.
Yeah.
But when I'm listening to the radio, I can hear those chords, but I've worked hard to be able to do that.
Right.
And ideally, putting ourselves in the path of application, right? Like, I'm going to need to know what those chords are for that song. So it's going to almost force me, like as a catalyst, to know what those chords are. And then, wow, I know them better than I did before. We're flexing mental muscles, would you say, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. But every day, sit down and look, I have it right here. I've got my pad. I always have my pad and a pencil or a pen ready. Well, I'm getting ready to do this. I got called to do, we're doing this Jimmy Buffett concert for a big, I don't know, it's something up in DC, but a lot of the Nashville guys are coming up to do it. And somebody called me and goes, can you come play lead guitar for this? I'm like, yeah, sure. All the guys that are coming up are all believers. So we're going to have a great time no matter what. But anyway, here's what I'm going to say. Even if you stumble through it, even if it doesn't look neat, just start writing songs out, putting a pen on paper and going, that's a G chord. That's an A minor chord. If you do that every day, say one song a day, your ear will jump exponentially over the next month or so.
And we've got exercises that will facilitate that for you guys too. Dave,
cool.
would you say with guitar in hand to kind of feel those chords or no?
So at first I would say, keep the guitar in your hand so that you can, like what you want to get to the place where you don't need the guitar. But at the same time, when you're starting out, you don't want to be discouraged and like, well, I just don't know what it is. Well, get your guitar out. The main thing is find the tonic note of the song, you know,
find home
where you feel like
one chord.
Da, 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 da. That's it. I'm home. And you start to hear that. David, whatever you have, I'm sure is great. And then as extracurricular, just write a song out every day. Just go for it, you know, the best you can.
I love analogies, as my crew knows. Would you say it's kind of like walking into a dark room, but then finding a familiar piece of furniture and they basically saying, okay, that's home. Now I know where everything else is based on this location.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's so the more we write other people's songs out, would you say that might eventually serve as fodder for some of us to compose our own music because our vocabulary has been expanded?
Absolutely. I just looked the other day at my BMI like list of songs. I have 4,400 and some songs that I've written over the last 15 years. And I can attribute most of that because I've got such a huge library of songs and styles in my head because I took that time to write other people's songs out and to analyze other people's songs. So all of a sudden you get all this information in your library. And then when it's time to compose, you've got a lot of places to jump off from and to create with. That's just the starting block. Not necessarily you're going to copy somebody, but you can get inspiration from other people as well. You know,
I've got something that will make you laugh, Dave. Some of you have heard this story. I mentioned it in one of our guest expert interviews with Brian Redding, but I saw Larry Norman back in the day, 1998. And he got up on stage and he said, John Lennon wrote this next song and I liked it. So I wrote it too.
Right. Yes.
And then I changed some of the chords and the da 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 da. But I mean, learning to play other people's music. You'll also appreciate this. For my father's 60th birthday, one of his most famous artists is the late Harry Chapin. Some of you may know that name. He wrote Cats in the Cradle. A lot of his songs didn't make the radio, so not a lot of people knew his stuff. But my father only knew his music having listened to it. But for his 60th birthday, I learned to play 11 of his songs, and I presented a house concert for him, completely memorized, mostly guitar, little piano, little banjo. But I would venture to say that by learning to play Harry's complex song forms and playing his music, A, I got to know his mind better, but B, it deepened my musical well, because I wasn't just doing 1-4-5. There was a lot going on. And so it really enhanced my musicianship. And I would say, in a way, I was influenced a bit, but I was really enriched because I learned to play somebody else's music. It's one thing to listen to somebody else's music, but you, day in and day out, are playing other people's music. So like, that's a huge way to expand our toolkit, is to learn other people's music, not just worship songs, but lots of music, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that you can draw from. I mean, especially being a studio musician, if I go into a session and they're like going, hey, we need like an Eagles vibe here. Well, if I don't know who the Eagles are or what the way they sounded, then I'm going to be stuck. So, you know, I know who the Eagles are. I know who Harry Chapin is. I know who Jim Croce is and James Taylor, all those kind of guys. So you just have all of that. It doesn't have to be here's the thing, as a Christian, it's like, that doesn't have to stick to you or, you know, influence who you are. But it's colors. It's a coloring book. You know, you're like, I need this color in this song, and I know where to get it. It doesn't mean I'm identified with that person or that sound. So
I love it. I got a great question from Ben, one of our newest members. This is a big picture. You're going to love this. What is something that you wish you had learned sooner?
Oh, you know what? Here's my thing that I really wish that I had learned sooner. Harmony, really understanding harmony. I didn't go to school to learn music. So everything I've learned has just been from trying to pick it up here and there. And harmony is one thing that I've never really dug deep into. I feel like I'm decent with it now, but if early on, I really wish I would have not just cast that aside, like, oh, that's silly. You know, I need to play lead guitar. But harmony is so important, and either singing it or composing and putting it together on the guitar. That's a great question.
What do you mean by harmony?
Well, I mean, just for me, it's like, it's so simple. It's like, okay, you have a note. What note works with that note that creates harmony and peace? I mean, now you could use the different notes to create tension and things like that, but just finding the notes that are pleasing to your ear, that work inside of the chords that you're given. I mean, that's about as simple as I can break it down. I mean, you can go way deeper, but just finding, if you could find one note that will work along with another note and take you through the journey of the song, that's, to me, that's huge. And I have to do that every day, finding parts. So
that makes me think of a similar thought. It's this idea that I don't necessarily go into a creative session of my own calculating what I'm going to do, but I play the music. I feel the freedom to just make the music. And then I go, ooh, I liked that. Why does that work?
Right.
And then going back, because we can't take away the mystery of music, because it's got God's fingerprints on it. So it's okay to understand and unpack it, but I try not to be too clinical in the beginning stages of creativity. I'd much rather just spill the paint, the colors, and then go, ooh, red and blue make purple. That's pretty. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you never want to get to the point where you're like going, well, I know all that. It's like, no, it's every moment in music is to me, it's fresh and new. I tell people, sometimes I pick up the guitar and I just go, okay, I don't know anything about this. Well, what do we got? What's going to happen today? You know, it can be fresh and exciting every day.
I love it. I love it. Well, we're winding down, guys. I can't believe it. This has been the fastest 30 minutes of my life. So I'm going to give you a lightning round. Okay, Dave. So just answer as fast as you can. These are going to be hard questions to answer quickly. Bethany's wondering about how to know how much you're worth based on experience, how long you've been playing. You don't need to share with us what you charge, but can it be tempting to underprice, or do you try to, you know, think about what other people are doing that do what you do? I realize that you're kind of the only one who does what you do in some ways. Is it a prayerful thing? How do you figure out what you're worth?
Okay. Well, in general, we have what's called the AFM, the Musicians Union.
Okay.
And for for most things, they set a standard. If you're in this certain realm, this is what you get paid. Now, there are things where I go, God, what do I need to do on this record?
Awesome, Dave. I appreciate how sensitive you are spiritually. That is so huge. We could get into a whole discussion of alternate tunings, but instead I'm just going to say, give me your five top alternate tunings that you like to play in. They might be in your guitars behind you, or just guitar tunings you like to get into. One of our members, Maurice, is interested in alternate tunings. So just real quick, just fire off a few alternate tunings by title or by name.
Well, I like open G. I keep my slide in either open A or open G. Dadgad, drop D, where both E's are dropped down. I play in a tuning called, it's open C major 7, which is it's a beautiful, beautiful tuning that sounds great. And then also, I always have a guitar that's tuned up a minor third, and I always also have a guitar that's always tuned in the Nashville system, which is the top 6 strings of a 12 string guitar. And okay. I think I get a lot of mileage out of those.
Every alternate tuning is a new instrument, which is super cool.
Oh, well, yeah.
Listen, Dave, I know it's getting on 8:30 p.m. your time, but man, I have to tell you, Dave, you made my week. And I'm thinking that others were encouraged. Raise your hand if you were encouraged by having Dave's thoughts on this. I love it.
Thank you.
Dave, what would you say in a sentence or two to someone who's just getting started with guitar? Just word of encouragement.
Just be amazed by it and the sound that can come out of it. Even if it's one note, it's the most simple thing you've ever done. But I still get such a joy out of just hearing one note of the guitar. It just makes me so happy.
So simple and beautiful. And then what would you say to someone who's been playing for a while and knows that they could be refreshed by the Lord in their more seasoned state of guitar playing? As one who's been playing for as long as you have, what would you say to a more intermediate / advanced guitarist?
Well, as you're developing your technique and your style, still find the joy in it and get lost in the instrument. Sometimes in that intermediate stage, you start analyzing everything too much. And I think it's important that you just sit down with the guitar and let all the things that you've learned just come out and don't think too hard about it. Just get lost in it. I did that this morning. I was sitting here coming up with something and 15 minutes went by and I was like, oh, I guess I got to get to work. I was just playing the guitar. So
be amazed by it if you're just getting started. And get lost in it if you've been playing for a while. I think there's something beautiful about rediscovering the joy of music in different seasons of life. So I love it. Dave, I need to ask you, can I pray for you or do you want to pray for us? What would you rather?
Oh, well, can you pray? But I want to say something about you. I think you have a treasure in David. And I was so thankful that the Lord put us together. And if I was out there and I was starting guitar, I would be calling you, bro. I just want you to know that. I might call you anyway and go, help me. I don't know what I'm doing.
I hope you do call me, Dave. I think this could be the beginning of a really sweet friendship because your reputation precedes you. I've heard you play and you went on faith that I would be able to add something to your class having not heard me play, which speaks volumes of your trust. And also you're leaning into the Lord because That was a trust fall into the Lord's invitation to do that, which I will never forget that class. And I probably will never forget this call either. So
I appreciate you having me.
Oh, we're so honored. Let me pray. Let's pray, you guys. Lord, thank you for Dave and his tremendous talents. I pray for traveling mercies as he goes to do the Brooklyn Tab gig tomorrow. Just continue to affirm and protect him. Give him great joy in all his endeavors. May he continue to be a light for you. Thank you for the ways that he has uplifted and encouraged us this evening. And we trust you with the next thing. You are so faithful. Help us to proclaim your faithfulness with our voices as we speak, as we sing, and may our fingers bring you glory as well as we play our guitars. And we thank you for the opportunities that you place before us. And we love you. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.
All right. I hate to end this call. I don't want it to end, but man, I'll tell you, this has been really a blessing. So thank you guys. Thank you, Dave. What a blessing. Let's you and me stay in touch, sir. Okay.
Okay. Look forward to it.
All right. Good night, friends.
Good night, y'all.
Well, I hope you gleaned a few things from our discussion with Dave. I smiled quite a lot as we enjoyed that short and sweet time together. As you might imagine, I seek out several guest experts who join us on Zoom over the course of each year, and each expert brings a different bit of wisdom. We've had Jesse Ferguson talking about in-ear monitors and how to leverage them. We've had Jeff Sandberg, a world-class saxophonist, talking about improvisation. We've had Brian Redding, a multi-instrumentalist and producer, talking about the art of listening. We've had Jerry Roberts, a slow-handed Eric Clapton-esque electric guitarist, talking about weaving electric and acoustic together for worship and designing an app-driven pedal board. We've had Jeremy Calvin, a Wunderkind aux percussionist, talking about creativity for solid rhythm grooves with percussion and guitar. We've had Adam Bolin, a super intuitive bass player, talking about arranging, rehearsing, and pedal effects. We've had Ron Mallory, a highly published arranger and keyboard player, talking about relevant music theory and transposition. We've had Dr. Gordon Miko, a chiropractor and health coach, talking about health, posture, diet, and longevity for our musical journeys. We've had the master luthiers of Mike Lull's Guitar Works talking about the craft of building, repairing, and caring for guitars. And we've got more coming up. Does this pique your interest at all? Leave a comment if it does. And if you're raring to go and want to find your people, meet guest experts, and most of all, fulfill your potential as a Christian guitarist, don't wait any longer. Head on over to guitarsuccessforyou.com. That's guitarsuccess, the number 4, and the letter U.com, where you can begin your journey with us and take your guitar playing to the next level. I would be honored to serve you, and our tribe would be honored to welcome you in. Thanks for experiencing today's episode, and I'll see you next time.